The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Hello, everyone. Once again, it is Black Mental Matters, episode number 47. How you doing? I'm Vince, the voice. On this program, we talk about those things that folks don't want to talk about, you know, mental health in the Black community. On this particular program, McKeeba and I, we're going to discuss grief and what is grief and how do you deal with it? Well, first of all, let me let you know, it's just a natural part of the circle of life. When you don't grieve and try to fill your lives with antonyms for grief, like false joy and happiness, you lose sight of reality. I mean, it's okay to be sad or to grieve when you lose your job or if you lose a loved one especially, and that's when it really comes out. Dealing with the topic of death can be uncomfortable and scary. We're going to talk about it. McKeeba's a mental health professional, and if you're having trouble dealing with the death of a loved one or consumed with other thoughts like that, reach out to a licensed therapy expert for support. And in the meantime, we're going to chop it up and hopefully help you at the same time. This is Black Mental Matters. Once again, it is Black Mental Matters with Vince the Voice and McKeeba Reed Johnson. Hey, McKeeba.
Hey, Vince the Voice Bailey. Yay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, it's National Recovery Month, McKeeba.
Yay. That's right. And yay.
That's talking to me because I ain't going to lie. I'm just going to spill my guts. I've been drinking too dang much during this COVID. Oh, my God.
Not mad at you. I'm not mad.
And so forgive me, those of you that are battling this thing. I don't mean to take it lightly at all, but I do understand, particularly now, how, again, this National Recovery Month, plays a part. The substance abuse, I mean, it's just right now is something that... Is at the forefront, huh?
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people are because of the pandemic, are going and using more, alcohol and other substances, even nicotine to kind of get them through this. So no, you're absolutely right. In fact, alcohol sales are up
big time.
And yeah, exactly. So no, you're absolutely right about that, because people are just pretty much trying to find ways of just coping through all this, because there's just, think about this. We had no idea that we'd be in September of 2020, yeah, still trying to get out of phase two and going back between phase one and phase two of the openings of just, how much we're going to go back to being normal. This is really getting tough.
Phase to shoot out. We need like the Isley Brothers. What's that song? Take me to the next phase, baby. I need to get you. You're right.
Right.
Well, and so, again, for those that are suffering with substance abuse, but today's program, McKeeba, you and I, we've had some discussions and we want to talk about in some detail is grief. And I think that the substance abuse could actually be a byproduct of someone who is suffering from grief.
Absolutely.
And so I guess, just to top it off, what is grief? When people say, what is grief? It's a natural process.
Mm-hmm. You are basically mourning the loss of a piece of your identity, through whether it was through a relationship with a person that you were close to, a job. Mm-hmm. Just like what you mentioned earlier before we started recording, if you move and you're in a new city, you have a sense of loss and a sense of grieving something that you once identified as a part of you that you no longer have.
And I also see an emotional reaction to change. A change in your life. And I know for a fact, I remember my dad, I was 17 years old, a senior in high school. My dad committed suicide, and there was like 3 years of my life that it's really, really hard to remember what took place during those 3 years. It was just like a blur, and I did not I know at that time did not take the time to grieve. It was kind of like being the man at that time. You know, I had to be the man. Me and mom were, you know, all my brothers were grown and had moved on and had to, you know, you had to be. So when you don't take that time to grieve, like they say, it's a natural process. Things can get out of whack.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And again, Vince, you know, thank you for being vulnerable enough and transparent enough to share that part of your life with our listeners and with everyone, because when you're talking about this, you know, not only are you, you know, kind of reliving it and re-going through it yourself, but you know, the good thing that comes out of it is that when other people hear mm-hmm. about getting through the loss of a loved one that died by suicide, I mean, that's huge, because of all of the different levels of grief and the stages of grief that you go through are a little bit different than a person that lost someone from some other type of illness or violence. I mean, it's a completely different grieving process. And then, of course, in the Black community, we don't want to talk about suicide. I know people who have died by suicide, and collectively, the people that are left really don't have the support system in the Black community, because nobody wants to talk about it. People are embarrassed. People are ashamed. There's no dialogue or language that we're used to having surrounding it. We weren't talking about it before it happened. So then all of a sudden the person is gone, and we really don't know how to pick up our pieces and move forward, because you don't have that network of people to support you if they died from any other type of illness, which is really sad.
Yes, and I mean, as you know, I don't not to pour it on, but you know, it struck again with my brother later in life, my oldest brother, back in 2004, and you know, you talk about it seems like for me, I mean, because I'll just share again. Then I lost in 2016 my second oldest brother, and then a week later, mom.
Wow.
You know, it was a lot. And I know at that time what I did to get past that was I poured myself into work. I mean, I created the best videos and voices and MC, you know, just jobs. Wow. Like I just poured myself. But then there was those times, and I couldn't wait to tell you this. I mean, there's certain songs, you know, that just trigger. And we were shopping in Walmart, and I don't know if it was, I think it was on my phone, but there's this song from the Fast and the Furious. It's been a long until I see you again. And I don't know if it came on in the store, Makiba, or was I started bawling like a baby right there in the middle of, you know, you're talking about a 56, 57 year old man. Just started bawling like I had to go outside. And it took, but you know, I felt a lot better after that, after just letting it out like that, mm-hmm. you know. And so, again, I say all that. Not for sensationalism, folks, but you have to grieve. You have to. It's a natural process. Makiba, you just lost your dad. You know. Right. You know what this is like.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. And of course, I don't understand what you went through. And I would never compare, you know, my loss. My dad died of, he was 83. And he had cognitive decline and dementia, you know, but he was my best friend and a central part of my life. And, you know, just going through the different stages of grief, you know, shock, denial, anger, the bargaining of, if COVID-19 hadn't been here, I would have been able to see him more in the end, you know, the depression. And then the final stage of grief is supposed to be the acceptance of it. But when you have underlying thing of where you have depression and anxiety, and then that kind of fuels the grief, and it gets you stuck in certain stages of anger or the depression where you're kind of having a hard time coming out of the grieving process, that's why it's really difficult, especially people now that have lost loved ones this year, because there hasn't been a normal grieving process. There's no funerals. And even after your loved one passes, has passed away this year, you don't have a chance to say, okay, you know, I'm going to start back going to the movies because that was my thing, or I'm going to start this new work project. Everything's kind of been shut down. So you don't really have a chance to feel like you're going back into some type of normal pattern.
Yes,
which
yes.
would help you grieve.
It's very tough. This profound emotional reactions can occur. Anxiety attacks or chronic mm-hmm. fatigue. So we want to, by us here today, kind of bearing our souls to what has taken place in our lives. You know, how do you, well, first, I love, you know, you brought it up and there are so many out there, you said it, who have lost, it may have been just regular natural causes. You know, we knew, you know, mm-hmm. grandma was 95 years old, this day was coming.
Yeah.
But if you can't do the normal home-going celebration with family, yes. it leaves a yes. big void in your life, and you're not able to express and get that grief out, as they say. And there are, I mean, millions, literally, if we have 180,000 plus, you know, at this point. So that tells me there are millions of family members out there who have not been able to express their grief at losing mama, grandmama, brother, sister, what have you.
Absolutely. And then you have the thing of the added layer of people who think, you know, COVID-19 is a joke. And so you have people who have lost loved ones to this virus that have to see statements on whether it's social media or television or even in written print, you know, with the large number of people that think that the whole thing is just something that's made up. I mean, this is really a very trying. I mean, when they say unprecedented times, yes. I mean, that's really what this is. And there's no template for it. And it's going to really be interesting when we come out on the other side of this to be able to kind of map out, okay, the impact of grieving through COVID-19 and not having the normalcy of a, you know, normal grieving processes and not to be able to be around family. I mean, when we buried my father, you know, it was just the immediate family. We were all wearing masks and we really couldn't hug each other because we'd been quarantined in our homes for so long. And we were kind of still following the, you know, guidelines to, with the social distancing. I mean, it was very difficult. So there are a lot of people now going through that. And then on top of that, you know, you've got the mental health issues, yes. and on top of that, you've got the social justice stuff that's still yes. unresolved and still going on. You're still reading about innocent Black people still continuing to be killed by the police. I mean, it's a lot yes. right now. And it's really impacting people's ability to heal from their pain and from their loss and from their grief.
And this, we want to be strong, you know, that's the you know, man, the man up kind of thing, or you have to keep moving on. But listen, mm-hmm. this is a part of life. Well, first of all, death yeah. is a part of life. It is
right,
a part of life.
It is.
We know this. Kids mm-hmm. will get to know it one day. And yep. the biggest reason that we grieve is because we're human. And
exactly.
we take a chance on loving one another. And if we love somebody and then they're not there anymore, there is a loss in our lives. And it's as you say, this unprecedented time, my hat goes off to all of us that we're mm-hmm. having all just started going stark raving crazy running around the
right.
street. But I don't know, it's getting closer and closer, you know. You got dudes coming from another state to shoot some people he don't even know. I'm like, good
yeah.
Lord. I'm sorry,
right?
But you know, working through the pain and adjusting mm-hmm. to life without the deceased and maintaining connections, there are things that you can do. I'm so also encouraged that, as I was telling you, I'm seeing young people embrace mental health and accepting that there is the need to seek help and to talk to people about your
right.
issues. There's grief
yes.
counseling, of course, when we're talking about grief, but in all of these scenarios, whether it be you know, schizophrenia or you know the diagnoses mm-hmm. that are given, I am encouraged that the young people seem to be embracing the fact that we need help mentally, and there's nothing wrong with that sometimes.
Absolutely. It's a great thing that young adults are not afraid to talk about the things that they've been through in their childhood. I mean, there's a higher level of awareness with them being able to identify when they have toxic family members, and they are more willing to put barriers that are protecting themselves against people around them and things around them that have caused them harm, and to be open and honest about things that are impacting their mental health. That is huge, because, I mean, like you and I both know, Vince, when we were growing up, you didn't talk about no mental health to nobody because that wasn't even a thing.
Right. Right. What? I tell you what.
You better sit down somewhere.
Or you need to go get that belt. Come on over here. I'm gonna show you what you're sad about. You know.
I'm gonna give you something to be sad about. Right.
And things that the symptoms can be right there. So parents and folks that are listening, I mean, if you feel any of these things where you just, your body feels just pain, just out of nowhere, frequent signs just all the time.
Right. Yeah. And that's what's so scary about when you put depression alongside with grief. You have more feelings of sadness, more feelings of emptiness. You have feelings of guilt that may be worsened, you know, like, you know, going back and, you know, thinking about, oh, I wish I'd been able to tell the person goodbye.
Yes.
I mean, you have an increased level of pessimism that may be worse, where you feel like, gosh, all these bad things have happened to me in my life. Mm-hmm. Right. And most of all, I mean, you know, you have an increased risk of having thoughts of death or suicide yourself, because especially when a person who is close to you has passed away, there have been people that have said, you know, if something happens to me right now, it would be okay, because then I'd be with that person.
Yes.
So this is something that we got to really take seriously when we're dealing with persons that already were battling depression, and now they've got that layer of grief that they're dealing with, because that can be very detrimental to their own well-being.
I tell you, I always tell anyone, and I'll tell the world again, that the solace that I took or have when I lost my mom, of course, you know, that was 4 years ago. It was, you know, just the worst thing ever, because I'm the baby boy. Yes. Me and mama was 8. We did all kind of stuff together. Folks don't even know. My mama was something else. And just like yours was, everybody's mom. But we did so many things together. And because I was a media professional from, say, age 18 or whatever, I have so many pictures and videos. I mean, I got the proof of me and mama doing stuff together. I still can't look at them all the time, you know, but there's a big, I have a big poster in my office here of mom.
Awesome.
All those videos and things. So for, I want to encourage some of you all to get ahead of the game. If mom and dad are getting up in age, or your loved ones, what have you, you know, to make sure you take some time, first of all, to spend some time, and then document those experiences as well. And it was the savior for me, that I knew that I spent a lot of great quality time with mom, and she's the reason I'm doing this dang show right now. She planted
it
in you. Shout out to mom. She's listening right now. And so for those of you to get ahead of that game again, I would encourage you to spend that time with particularly mom and dad, because those are the ones you only get one, biologically anyway.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
And my hat's off to you, baby girl, because I know you're, like you said, your daddy was your best friend. I saw the pics, you and daddy. He had that proud look on his face, and you had that's my daddy look on his face.
Yeah, that was my person. That was my person. Absolutely. But you know what? The biggest thing I've learned in the grieving process, Vince, is the importance of not unpacking and living in my grief, because what I realized on my saddest days of battling the depression and the loss of my dad, I have to realize that I still have a family. I still have kids and a husband who I need to be aware of and be present for, because what grief does, if you don't go through it healthfully, is it robs you of the time with the people that are still here.
That's right.
And so you have to really be self-aware and not to confuse grief with love. And you have to feel in your heart that on days that you feel better, because I've been through this, on days where I was feeling better, that kind of came with a guilt, like, oh gosh, I should still be grieving, because you kind of feel like, okay, if I'm not grieving, then I've forgotten the person. And that's not true.
That's not right. Not true at all. You had mentioned those seven steps of grieving. I had come across a model that was called the task of grieving, and the first task was just accepting the reality of the loss. You got to accept the fact that it's happened. Not only need to be able to recite the fact, but you need to know completely in all your thoughts and your emotions that time with that person or thing is over. It's it's over. It's a done deal. I don't mean to say it so callously, but then after accepting working through the pain. Too often we find ourselves avoiding feelings surrounding the loss. No, I would put on some of that. And there was another song that triggered. I don't know why would mom it triggered me, but it was Formation by Beyonce. I was sitting here in my office and I played it like from 10 o'clock at night till 3 in the morning. My mama, Alabama, Louisiana, we miss that Negro with that Negro, Texas. And I was just banging this all night, crying.
I love it.
And I loved it too. That song, why that song? I don't know, but it was just something for me and mom. You know, that's our song.
That was part of your grieving process. Yes, my dad's song was his music was Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke, oh my
Lord. I have had a Sam Cooke party in my room where I did the same thing that you did.
Yeah.
And I looked at pictures and I listened to videos and I cried for about 5-6 hours.
Yes. So that's what it is. Working through that pain, let yourself feel your emotions, release the emotions, and let positivity, because after that, I did. I felt really, really good. But I had to.
Yes, because you got it out your system. You got it out your system. Absolutely.
Another is to adjust to life without the deceased. You may feel a loss as to what to do with your life after that, but you got to know where you want to go from here. You got to, you know, make that plan, adjust to life, maintain a connection while moving on. And that's those memories that we're talking about. You know, it's nothing wrong. Look at those pictures.
Yeah.
Look at those pictures. Maintain a connection. I turn around. Sometimes I don't turn around because I may be watching something on my computer I shouldn't be looking at. I say, oh, mama's right there. Turn that off.
I'm cussing Tracy. Too much.
Cussing too much. Hold on, mama.
Right.
That kind of thing. But there are steps that you can take to get through the loss of your loved ones. And of course, again, we always want to advocate seeking help. We've interviewed a number of professionals. The telemedicine is huge right now. Telemental health and more and more services. I just came across another one. BetterHelp. You got Calm. You got just many. Now you're a professional in this arena. I am an advocate. You're a professional and an advocate. What's your thoughts as it relates? I already know, but tell everyone what your thoughts is as it relates to the online therapy, telehealth.
Definitely. Oh no, it's definitely very much important if you are dealing with grief to reach out to some type of mental health professional, whether it's a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a licensed clinical social worker. Definitely with telemental health, it's great for individuals that are kind of hesitant about going into therapy. But the great thing about the telemental health is that if you have anxiety, it's really great that you're able to do sessions with a licensed therapist over the phone instead of having that one-on-one contact that you might not be comfortable with. So the telemental health is very important. And Vince, what I like to tell people in the context of people who'd like to say, I always hear this. I don't feel like I need a psychiatrist. I don't need to talk to anybody. I don't need a shrink. I hear that from Black people a lot. And what I try to circle back to is the fact that we were once in villages. We are from a community. When we were in communities, the way that we dealt with grief, we were part of a tribe. We were part of a community. So if somebody passed, everybody was grieving and everybody was mourning, and there were religious rituals to help you through the process, and you weren't grieving a loved one somewhere by yourself or just with two or three family members. It was communal, and everybody around you was impacted. But we don't have that anymore, and that's why some people have to go to or feel like they have to go to alcohol or drugs or whatever, because that's what the therapy provides. It's the village that we don't have anymore, and that's why it's so important for people to find a good therapist or telemental health therapist.
Wow, that's strong. That you just took me there. That's strong. Now, I want to, for those who, well, if it's your spouse and they lose a parent, you kind of experience, but not as much as that spouse did. How do you help others grieve? And I got a couple of tips as it relates to that. One is to share the sorrow, which means allow them, even encourage them to talk about their feelings of loss and share in memories of the deceased. You know, let them talk about it and help them get it out. Another is to don't offer false comfort. It doesn't help a grieving person when you say, well, you know, it's for the best.
Oh,
baby, you'll get over in time. Thoughts and prayers. No, I'm not going to. No, it's kind of the same thing.
No, you're right, though. You are right.
Oh, instead.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be all right, baby. This is what happens. No, offer a simple expression of sorrow and then take time to listen. I know it must hurt. I know it must hurt. I know you miss it. Talk about that. You know, that kind of. Don't offer that false comfort. Offer practical help. Maybe you could babysit for them one time or cook a little food for them or run an errand for them because you know they don't want to get out the house right now. They're going through their thing. Let me do something for you. Offer some pretty. We're helping others through their grieving. Be patient. It can take time. It can take time. I'm sure my wife wouldn't mind me saying, I mean, when she lost her mom, it took some time. It took some time for, and thank God, you know, we worked through it and we still miss my mother-in-law. Wonderful woman. And finally, you know, encourage that professional help when necessary. Don't hesitate to recommend help professionally. You know, tell them to go to the website or call the hotline or whatever.
Absolutely.
You feel someone is experiencing too much pain to cope alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also to realize that there are things that you shouldn't say to people who are experiencing. My biggest thing, I hate to hear sorry for your loss. That's so empty to me. And I see that a lot. And people just need to be more aware of just having a more personal response to someone who's lost a loved one. And you brought up a great point too, Vince, about listening, you know, not always giving your advice to what the person you feel needs to be doing, but just to be that empty space for that person, just to spill out how they feel and to also give that person as much time as they need to heal. I mean, a person might still be grieving a year, you know, and let that person still grieve. So there's no timeline on when you should not be grieving anymore.
Now, you're right. You know, sorry for your loss. We really see it now so much on, you know, our social media.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to say that people aren't being sincere, but you're right. If you could, I mean, I've said that at times. I know I have many times. I'm sorry, but that's not all I say. I'll say, you know, so sorry for your loss. I know it's hard during this time. God bless. Rest in peace, mom. Rest in peace, uncle.
That's different.
Rest in power. Or what have you. Speaking of social media, and we brought this up before, it's a great group, that private group, the Grief Group. And for of you who may be going through something right now, I think you get a lot out of this. It's called Grief, Releasing Pain, Remembering Love, and Finding Meaning, and a free online group, grief support group by David Kessler. Look it up, Grief. And I think that it helped me. And I'm sure it can help you all as well.
Right. And that's on Facebook. Yes. That's a great group.
It's a great group and very.
What are you drinking? What are you drinking?
Brandy.
I want some.
And Bex. This program is brought to you by Brandy and Ice Cold Bex. Wait a minute. It's 2:30 in the morning. I need to go to sleep. No more Netflix.
Right.
So see, you're not alone. Folks, you're not alone. Hey, I want to let folks know too, Makiba, I'm going to find out more, but Amazon, I believe, is it Amazon? Our podcast is going to be heard at a whole lot more places. We'll let them know more about that coming up. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, so we can't tell you more. I will until later at another time.
Oh, dang.
But take this away. With support, patience, and efforts, you will survive grief, everyone. Listen to me and Makiba. We've survived it. You can, too. The pain will lessen, leaving you with cherished memories of your loved ones. And, hey, stick a fork in it, because that is the honest to God truth.
Makiba, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Makiba, for sharing again. And any my last pleasure. Words? Any last words for our folks?
Yeah, just to remember the importance of staying present and being in the present moment when you're grieving, so that you're not tuning out what's happening around you.
Awesome. Thank you all so much. It's Black Mental Matters. We love you, and we'll see you next time.